Hey, welcome to the program. Got a great show for you today. But then again, what do I know?
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
What do I know?
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the...
Relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. How are you today? Good. Good. Interesting stuff coming up later in the show. I speak to a doctor about a condition that people actually have, and I know some people like this, but... who have this condition, but we don't talk about it that much, but I do know they have it. They sweat like really easily. Like all of a sudden they'll just break out in a sweat. They're always hot. That's an actual physical condition. What's that about? What's up with that? And then we'll have another great guest as well talking about recycling, but no, not that boring recycling crap kind of talk. China actually recycles. Did you know we recycle so much in this country that China, actually, we sell our recycling stuff to China, and they take it. China is starting to say, you know, you're not recycling properly. China is calling us out because we don't know how to recycle? What's up with that? I didn't even know that was happening. We're going to talk about that later as well. Now, do you find it interesting? What does it take? What does it take? What does it take? Seriously, what do you want from me? Piss me off. All right, welcome to the show. That was theater. That was kabuki theater. That was not me. That was just kabuki theater. I have to do things that are over the top in order to keep you listening. I know I do. Who are we trying to kid? You love the drama. And even if you don't, you don't know that you do. But you do. Let me just relax for a second, man. I've been going like 24/7 here. You know... I'm not 20 years old anymore. Really, Ron? Had no idea. It's like there's no pictures of you. We know you're not 20. Oh, okay. Didn't know that. Yeah, I'm not 20 anymore. And I'm getting older just like you are. And I'm starting to forget things. And here's a dilemma that I'm in. I don't know if I always forgot stuff or whether just now I'm starting to forget stuff, or whether I forgot that I forgot stuff. Do you know what I mean? I remember when I was younger losing my car keys. Like, where the hell are my car keys? Where was the last place you had your car keys? Oh, like I never thought of looking there. Thank you for the suggestion. I love it. When you're looking for something and the other person says, well, where'd you put them last? Oh, there's a good idea. I never thought of looking there. You jerk. Where did you lose them? Do you know where you lost them? No, I don't. I don't know where. But I remember when I was younger, I'd be combing my apartment looking. I lived in an apartment when I was younger. Looking for keys and things that I put them down somewhere. Where did I put my glasses? Oh, they're on your head, you idiot. Well, that's interesting. I don't even wear glasses. I don't even know why I'm looking for them. I don't even have a pair of glasses. Maybe that's the problem. I used to lose things all the time, and I never questioned it. I never thought, I'm going senile. You can't go senile, Ron. You're like 25 years old. How can you go senile? So I never considered that to be a problem. It's just that I've got so much on my mind. That was the excuse. I must have so much on my mind. I'm just like, I've got a lot on my mind. That was always the excuse. Then you get into your 30s and you start getting a little concerned about your age, saying, have I met my goals yet? No, I have not. Very few people by the age of 30 have met their goals. Very few people by the age of 90 have met their goals. So seriously, you know something about me? The older you get, the more concerned you start to get about the fact that you're forgetting things. This happened recently. Thanksgiving was not too long ago. I think it was like 7 months ago. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. And people were saying, Ron, how are the holidays for you? What did you do for the holidays? And I actually had to stop and think and actually verbalize, I don't remember. You don't remember something that was recent, that was significant? I don't know. Ron, how was your weekend? What'd you do this weekend? I don't know. I don't know. And then it starts to bother you. Like, why don't I know this? Why can't I specifically remember everything I did all weekend? But I can't. Oh, that's right. I went to the movies. Did you like the movie? Yes, I did like the movie. Did you do that all day? No, it was just for 2 hours on Saturday. What'd you do for the rest of the day, for the rest of the weekend? I don't know. I know I did something, or maybe I did nothing. I don't know. So you get, you know, a little bit older, and then you start to be concerned about the fact that your brain is starting to break down. And from what my interviews with doctors, once your brain cells die, they don't come back. You can't revive them. So I don't know how many brain cells I started with, but I have a real good feeling a lot of them aren't hanging around anymore. There's been little funerals for my brain cells going on up there. I'm still capacitated, but I don't remember things. I mean, I shouldn't say it that way. Of course I remember things. But if questioned, I have to not remember things. But again, I think I always didn't remember things. When I was younger, I smoked marijuana, marijuana, and I remember doing that, and I when I was doing it, I said to myself, you know, this is destroying my brain cells, I think, and I think it does. And kids of all ages, all the way kids up to your 70s, whatever, I think when you smoke pot and you do drugs, I really do think that you're doing stuff to your brain cells. Smoking cigarettes, smoking pot, excessive alcohol, I think you're killing some brain cells here. I'm sure you've got plenty left. That's not the point. But I think that there's a difference there. So what I do is I do crossword puzzles. I do on my little smartphone, which is incredibly smart, much smarter than me. And it's embarrassing to walk around with a device that's smarter than I am. But it's true. I will play these word games on my little smartphone, you know, and it teases my brain, and I think my brain cells are saying, well, let's wake up and play the game. So I think that's good for me. Good exercise. I'm just getting a little concerned about that. Did I always forget things? I don't know. I don't remember. I do have an interesting show for you today, though. I really do. I know that I went to dinner on Saturday evening. I went to had a really nice dinner. One of my favorite restaurants, actually. They had a special. It's pretty cool.
Hey, this is Bobby Marone, former heavyweight contender. But I hung up my boxing gloves to open the area's favorite new restaurant.
It's Headshots, Bobby.
Headshots? Hey, this month we're starting something new at Headshots. It's our all-you-can-eat, nothing-but-meatball brunch. That's right. You can come to Headshots and load up on all your favorite sausage.
Meatball?
Right. Meatballs. It doesn't matter what kind of chicken you like.
Meatball?
What kind of meatball you like. We got it at the all-you-can-eat, nothing-but-typewriters.
Meatballs?
Meatballs? Nothing-but-meatball buffet. You heard me right. No pasta, no cacciatore, no lasagna, just delicious lasagna.
Meatballs.
Meatballs. However you like them. Traditional, hot and spicy, stuffed with cheese, covered in marinara. My mouth is watering just thinking about eating all these cheerleaders.
Holy sh... Meatballs. Meatballs.
Eating all these meatballs myself. So what are you waiting for? Get on down to Headshots and see if you can eat more General Gao's chicken than me, Bobby Marone. That last one was supposed to be meatballs too, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
You know what I realized not long ago in my career? I don't have a bucket list. I don't know where this thing came from, but it became very, like 10 years ago or 15 years ago, it became very gauche and niche to have a bucket list. And when I first heard that phrase, I thought, okay, I'm going to go down to my basement and make a list of all the buckets that I have down there. I think I've got a bucket from Lowe's, one from Home Depot. I think I got a bucket of ice melt for the winter. Got a bucket of that. I think I have a bucket of nails, actually, assorted nails. And then I realized, no. That's not the bucket that they're talking about. You don't have to make a list of those things. In case of an emergency, I need a list of all my buckets. That wasn't it. Wasn't it? Apparently, the bucket list is a thing. It's a list of things that you want to achieve in your short, pathetic lifetime. And if you write them down in a list, you can check them off. And you complete your destinations, your list of things to achieve. And I said, oh, this sounds like fun. And I sat down with a piece of paper and a pencil. And I said to myself, no, pencil, I'm going to do a pen. So I had a piece of paper and a pen, and I sat there and made a list of all the things I wanted to achieve in my short, pathetic life. And after hours of deliberation, I found I don't have any bucket list. I have nothing that I want to achieve, because everything I want to achieve involves either danger or kind of no point to doing it. You see, I think beyond. I think outside of the box. The box isn't good enough for me. Everything outside of the box ruins the box. A lot of people want to jump out of an airplane and go skydiving. I don't. That's on my list of things never to do. That's my don't bucket list. That's my fuck it list. That list is quite long. The things that I want to achieve, I can't think of anything. I don't want to jump out of a plane. I don't care to be hurling my body toward my death, smack on the ground at 2,000 miles an hour when my chute won't open. What's the point of that? If I were a religious man, I would say God did not create me with wings. So why is he dropping me out of planes, assuming it's a he? Not on my list. Not on my list. Date an Asian Girl. As politically incorrect as that is, that was a dream of mine. And then I realized, what's the difference? They have the same parts as the other girls do. They can be as bitchy as anybody else can be bitchy, including bitchy men can be bitchy, although I don't want to date them. So what's the point of someone who looks Asian? That's very superficial, very oddly racist in a sense, not really, but you could turn it into that simply by the way that you grouped a certain culture as being a specific mention. So, no, I kind of don't really need to do that either. Besides, I'm not allowed to with my present situation. So, no, don't want to do that either. Maybe on the list is to have this exotic meal of the finest foods in the world set before me. No. As exciting as that may be gastronomically, I would get a huge, huge bloating and gas problem, and I would probably die of some type of fat disease. So no, I don't want to do that either. Well, Ron, what is your bucket list? What do you want to achieve? Well, I'd like to sleep through the night without getting up to pee, but then again, should that be on a bucket list? Is that the kind of thing you put on a bucket list? Well, no, it's not. Although I do want to achieve that at some point in my life, it would be nice to sleep 8 hours straight without getting up to pee. But I'm even too embarrassed to write that on a sheet of paper, much less tell you about it. So what's up with this bucket list thing? What do I want to climb a giant mountain and make it to the top of the mountain? No, that sounds like a lot of work, and I might get some sore muscles. No, or I could plummet to my death, similar to the skydiving thing. And I understand when you get to the top of mountains, it gets pretty cold up there. So no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Well, Ron, what would be on your bucket list? Well, I don't know. I don't think I should be doing one. I don't think I'm capable of being on a bucket list. No, bucket lists are not for me. Not too cool.
You know, we can't all be quite as cool as Ron Van Dam. But then again, most of us haven't had quite as long to work on it. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
I don't know what to tell you. Do you have a bucket list? Don't answer me. I can't hear you. There's no point. It's a rhetorical question. No, I really don't care. All right, it's time to speak to one of our guests. This is beyond reproach. Okay. Sweating? Sweat a lot? Do you sweat a lot?
Hey, Ron.
Hi, Ron.
Hello, everybody. Adam Friedman joins us now. Dr. Adam Friedman, Associate Professor of Dermatology at the George Washington University School of Medicine and Health Services. And Lisa Pretty joins us now, Executive Director, a founding member, International Hyperhidrosis. Is that, did I pronounce that properly?
Hyperhidrosis, yep.
Fantastic. With that society. Thanks for being with us. I have not said that word before because, to be honest with you, before we set up this interview, I didn't know what that was. But apparently it's a medical condition that a lot of people are concerned about. Tell me about that.
That's a great lead-in, in that the main purpose of National Hyperhidrosis Awareness Month is just that, to bring awareness. This is an extremely common condition, affects at least 50 million people in the U.S., 5% of the global population. But most don't realize this is a medical problem because we all sweat. We need to. It's kind of our, you know, natural air conditioning to regulate body temperature.
Right.
But hyperhidrosis is 4 to 5 times more than you actually need to regulate that temperature. Mm. And it will happen regardless. You know, even in Boston, when it's nice and cold, you're still going to sweat a lot. So letting everyone know that this is a medical problem and for which we actually have medical and surgical treatments is of the utmost importance. Hmm.
How would one discern that if it is excessive? Does it start entering into your daily life to a point where it becomes considerably difficult?
Yeah, you nailed it. Exactly. It's about quality of life. You know, this is something that's interrupting basic things, things we may take for granted, shaking hands, working on your iPhone, opening a door, wearing makeup. That could be a sign that you have hyperhidrosis, and certainly seeking out professional help from a dermatologist would be important.
Are there any ill negative effects to it besides the discomfort and the annoyance?
Absolutely. So sweat is an irritant. So beyond the impact on quality of life and how it affects your day-to-day, excessive sweating can cause an irritant dermatitis, meaning an eczema-like rash that can burn or itch. And when that happens, the skin can open up and be open season for infections. So from that angle, absolutely, can physically damage the skin as well.
All right. Can it produce excessive perspiration? Can that produce an odor which would become socially unpleasant as well?
So body odor isn't actually from sweat itself.
Oh.
It's what bacteria on our skin does to an element of sweat caused by the apocrine glands or created by the apocrine glands. But you're right. If you are sweating more, you're probably going to churn out more of this apocrine secretion, which then could increase the likelihood for body odor.
Interesting. How prevalent is this condition?
Extremely prevalent. So about 15 million people in the U.S. alone, and that's probably undershooting it because people don't recognize they have it, but 5% of global population. That's 365 million people across the globe. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, it is a lot of people. Okay. There now, the organization that you're connected with, Lisa, how are they treating this?
So the International Hyperhidrosis Society has been working on this since 2003 to raise awareness about hyperhidrosis and to help the entire community of hyperhidrosis suffer. So it's those who suffer, it's the family members who try to provide care, and it's also the physicians and healthcare providers to treat the patients appropriately and effectively. And really, it's important for all members of the community to go to our website, which is sweathealth.org, and find out more information and learn about all the different treatment options.
Okay. Now, obviously, we sweat from many locations on our body. Is this a, in other words, if you have this condition, is that for all locations that produce sweat, or can it sometimes be very isolated to a certain part of the body?
Yep, all the above. So it can be focal, meaning involving just the underarms, feet, hands, face, but it also could be generalized. So it comes in many different flavors, and then our because of that, our treatment regimen is very tailored to the person themselves in terms of where it's affecting them.
All right. Does this come on all of a sudden in life? Is it something that one has dealt with continually? Is it an age-related? Where does this come from?
Yep, so it depends. Primary hyperhidrosis, which is the form that is genetic, means passed down from generation to generation, can start very young. We see this in kids. I treat kids with this. And certainly there are particular implications in childhood with respect to excessive sweating from, you know, working with iPads or iPhones, social interactions. The secondary form, however, that is associated with underlying medical problems like hyperthyroidism, diabetes, lymphoma, and also certain medications. So in that case, yeah, it could certainly pop up as a manifestation of an underlying disease or a medication. But in the primary form, it happens early and it persists.
Yeah. And I guess there's social implications to this, too. I mean, everybody seen commercials where people raise their arm and there's this gigantic patch of discoloration on their under their sleeve, and that's, you know, that might hamper somebody from actually doing things like that.
Oh, not might, it absolutely does. And I remember the commercial, the sure, unsure for deodorant. That was more related to body odor, but I think the visible sign of excessive sweating, there are social stimuli, and we got to erase them. We got to get rid of them because this is a medical problem. It is not that person's fault. Yeah. But they also can be treated, and everyone needs to know that there are treatments available.
What types of treatments are available? What would you do for that?
Sure. So there's a range. There are over-the-counter prescription strength and prescription strength antiperspirants. Mm-hmm. There are devices, microwave-based devices. There's a device called Ontophoresis, which uses a mild electrical current. Mm. This is more for hand-foot disease. Mm. There are injections, like with Botox. Mm. And there are also oral medications that inhibit the nerve signals from overstimulating those sweat glands. We also have a very rich pipeline, so things coming down the road. And this is the first time in many years we actually have new things coming out that are very exciting, both topical and oral, to help these sufferers.
So there's no reason to suffer, really.
That is the message. Absolutely. There's no reason to suffer.
Hmm. And Lisa, I guess the other thing is, as we talk about many medical conditions, when someone has a condition, they always think it's just them, or because people don't talk about this amongst themselves. But I guess it's very comforting to know that you're not the only one and that this is a situation that other people have.
Absolutely. We have about 6,000 people who come to our website every day, and they're seeking support and help. We have a robust social media channels on Facebook and Twitter. There's so much support out there. And every day I hear someone say, I thought I was the only one with this.
Yeah.
So hyperhidrosis is not rare. It's just rarely spoken about. And that's what we want to change with this Awareness Month.
Yeah. It's not the kind of thing you walk up to somebody and say, hey, how you doing there? Do you sweat a lot too? You don't do that. You just don't do that. But maybe maybe now we will. For more information, visit sweathelp.org. Do I have that right?
Yes, you do. Thank you.
Okay, sweathelp.org, which is kind of makes sense. Thank you so much. I, again, didn't know. Now I do. And whenever something like that occurs, that's a good thing. So thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. We'll be right back right after these words.
Let others say that water is just water.
Aquamira.
Each bottle of Aquamira, all-natural, artisanal, gourmet lifestyle water,
Aquamira,
contains only the finest, hand-selected waters, gently and sustainably culled from free-range, certified glacial streams in fair trade countries.
Aquamira.
Skillfully aged in stainless steel, cruelty-free tanks, and quintuple filtered according to age-old Nepalese watersmithing techniques.
Aquamira.
Each non-GMO serving of Aquamira all-natural artisanal gourmet lifestyle water is allergen-free, safe for use on pets, and contains zero trans fats.
Aquamira.
Yes, let others say that water is just water. For the true discerning connoisseur, there is only one. There is only
Aquamira.
Find Aquamira water in handy 42 packs in the beverage section of your local convenience store, liquor store, or gas station. Free bottle with every purchase of a Take This Job and Shove It lottery scratch-off ticket while supplies last. Aquamira all-natural gourmet lifestyle water is bottled by the overarching beverage conglomeration corporation, LLC.
Adina Renee Adler joins us. She's Senior Director of Government Relations and International Affairs for the Institute of Scrap Recycling Industries. And pleasure to have you here. We've all been acclimated to recycling, but I guess there's more to it than that. How large is the recycling industry exactly?
Yeah, sure. First of all, thank you again for having me.
Mm-hmm.
The recycling industry in the United States has about half a billion direct and indirect jobs it supports.
Oh, wow.
And between all those jobs and all of the facilities around the country that do the recycling, the economic impact to the United States economy is about $117 billion. So it's a very important engine of our economy and a very important contributor to our trade balance as well.
Okay. So I didn't know that what we do recycling here has anything to do internationally, globally, but I guess it does. I know that there's some concern you have about China.
Yeah, no, and to be quite frank, I don't think a lot of people understand that the materials that they send in their blue bins are valuable commodities. They really do indeed get recycled. You send them to processors, that are the member companies of ISRI, to be broken down and to be usable again to make into new products.
Yes.
But the United States, Americans are very good recyclers, and we just can't use everything that we collect here in the United States.
Oh.
So about a third of what we of the 130 million metric tons that we collect every year has to be exported somewhere.
Really?
And they're high value commodity grades, commodities, specification grade commodities that are sent overseas. And China, as you know, has been a very strong demander of commodities from agricultural goods to, of course, scrap. And so they take in about a third of our exports.
Wow.
But unfortunately, they have decided that, unfortunately, sometimes what happens is that waste gets mixed in with that scrap. And so they're starting to clamp down now on what they import. And if our largest consumer of scrap starts to clamp down on what they import, then we start to see a significant global impact on how these materials will be traded around the world.
Well, first of all, I can't conceive, I know it's true, but I can't conceive that we don't use all the scrap that we create, the recycler we create. I would think that would, I'm floored. I don't even know how to express this, that there's actually extra that we don't even use. Like, it's not that we over-recycle, because recycling is recycling, but the capacity is not even there for us to use all of it. Is it indeed the fact, as China states, that perhaps we're not careful enough about how we separate our recyclables here when we ship them over?
Yeah, it is sort of an unfortunate thing, and it's only because the way that materials are recycled just sort of varies between communities and municipalities. Even neighborhoods right next door to each other might do it differently. It is hard to believe that we have so much that is recycled. 80% of actually what's recycled comes from commercial sources. So if you think about buildings that are being reconstructed or new buildings that are going up, it's the materials that come out of it. It's when new aluminum cans are made, they stamp out and you have excess aluminum, so that has to go into the recycling stream. So there really is a lot out there. But unfortunately, sometimes it all gets mixed in together, especially the household collections. There's cross-contamination.
Sure.
You know, if people aren't completely rinsing out their applesauce jars, for example, and that excess applesauce gets onto, the cardboard box that just came in from Amazon, that cardboard box may or may not be usable if it's been contaminated like that. So that's where you have that trouble.
You haven't been going through my recyclables, have you? Because it sounds very accurate.
No.
Okay, because I did have applesauce last week, and I did put that, but I thought
okay, good. Well, it's very healthy for you.
I thought I washed it out enough. So what does this mean? Do we have to be more selective and conscious about how we recycle, not only at home, but where we process?
Yeah, but I think it's not something that's too much of a heavy lift for everybody. I think if households can just, be in close communication with their local communities and with their, waste companies, waste removal companies, just to understand what is and is not recyclable, it really just takes a minute to, think, should I put this in the blue bin or should I put this in the other bin? Taking a second to rinse out the jars and the soda cans, really, it just takes a second, and then you can feel good that these materials are ready to go and they're clean and they will be recycled.
It does seem like more and more every year that more things are recyclable. I remember when it started, it was the bottles and the soda cans and things like that, and the water bottles, and that pretty much was it. And now it seems that there's a lot more we have to discern here.
That's what's amazing about the recycling industry that I think is still not as well known as it could be, is that recycling companies are innovators too. And every year we're seeing new and new technologies that come out to make sorting much easier, to make the ability to break down and recycle those materials much quicker and much easier. And even the technology to use recyclable materials continues to evolve, and you see more and more items, you know, coming out made of you know, formerly used materials. It is actually quite incredible. And I think even with China starting to clamp down on imports is also going to be an opportunity for, you know, innovators that have been testing new technologies to get that out into the market and for us to do even more.
Good. But we at home can start here and just be a little bit more, use our heads a little bit more here and not just toss, but actually clean out, and takes an extra second to do that, I guess. That's all.
Even I'm having to tell my 11-year-old, to remember how to do it at home as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, where do we get more information?
Well, our website is chock full of information about what can and can't be recycled, about what the industry is doing to be innovative, and what's happening in global markets as well. You can visit www.isri.org to get more information.
Perfect. Well, thank you for your time, Adina Renee Adler. Thank you. That was very interesting. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye. Wonderful, 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 wonderful. I'm out of time for today, but fear not, I will be back tomorrow with another show. Does that excite you to any extent? No? Okay.